Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you learn and grow along the way. My special guest today is Kathy Caprino. Kathy is an international career success consultant dedicated to the advancement of women in business. She's currently the founder and president of Elliott Communications and is a former corporate marketing VP. She's also a trained psychotherapist, a seasoned coach, and a sought-after speaker. As a Forbes, Huffington Post, and popular blogger on career issues and trends, Kathy is a top media source on career and entrepreneurial issues. She's appeared in hundreds of leading newspapers, magazines, and websites, including the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Chicago Tribune, Business Week, Forbes, and many more. Kathy, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be with you.
Oh, well, me too. So you went from corporate marketing executive, spending, I think, 18 years in corporate America and corporate life, to earning a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. So you've also trained as a coach, and you're now speaking to women about thriving through change. Can you just share a little bit what it was like to make that transformation?
I'd love to. Do we have 2 hours? I don't think we do. So let me.
I wish we did.
All right, quickly. I had 18 years in corporate, as you say, in publishing and marketing. And, you know, while I was successful on the outside, you know, made good money and had staff and global initiatives and $30 million budgets, I wasn't successful on the inside. And I didn't quite understand that till the bumps that I experienced really turned into full-blown crises. But again, I didn't really understand that, because when we're kind of hacking it out ourselves and not really sharing these challenges, we don't really see the bigger picture. But what happened was, as I hit 40, again, those crises were pretty full-blown, from work-life total imbalance to chronic illness, sexual harassment, gender discrimination, the whole kit and caboodle. But
yes,
I swear to you, harder than all of that put together was waking up every day thinking, is this really what I'm going to be spending my life doing? It felt so meaningless, not purposeful, not important, not contributive, not valuable, what I was doing, the kind of work I was doing. And again, this is not to say every woman in corporate is going to feel this way. This was my personal reaction to the work I was doing, right?
Oh, sure.
So I tried to get help. I saw a therapist, a career counselor, did a lot of assessments, you know, Myers-Briggs, et cetera. Nothing moved me forward. And there's reasons for that, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure, blocks that keep us stuck. So
yes.
I did nothing until 9/11 happened. And one month after moving to a bigger home, more financial burden, I was laid off a month after 9/11, but not just laid off. It really knocked me to my knees.
Right.
It was really a crushing blow to me, even though I hated the job, which is a crazy conundrum. Like, why would I be so upset? But I was. I was devastated. But what happened was, I was sitting in my therapist's office crying, and he said, look, I see that this looks like the worst crisis you've ever faced, but from where I sit, it's the first moment you can choose who you want to be in the world. Who do you want to be? And that was it. We had a discussion about, I want to help people. And he said, well, I think you'd be a great therapist. So we talked about it. I checked it out. I interviewed at two schools near me, jumped into the master's degree. But what's even more interesting to me than that whole piece is, while I adored the training and it was life-changing, I mean, I dealt with rape, incest, pedophilia, drug addiction. I sat with the darkest sides of human experience, which I never had. But after 5 years of being a therapist, one day I was putting the kids down to dinner, and my phone rang, and it was my client, and she said, I'm going to kill myself right now.
Oh, my goodness.
And I will never forget that. It was one of those moments where the universe gives you kind of a cosmic 2x4. And I, for one, you know, tiny split second, I thought, I'm not equipped for this, and I can't have this in my life. I snapped out of it, helped her. We got a lot of help for her. She's doing much better now. But, you know, I realized that it's a different population and a different set of issues that I wanted to be helping on, a different kind of level. And so, you know, years passed. I started my business, focused on women's careers, wrote a book, did a research study on women overcoming professional crisis, and now that's my sweet spot, helping women who are brilliant and, you know, successful, but have awakened to the understanding that I don't want to do this anymore, but what do I do? So that's my world.
Wow. Well, first of all, it's fascinating everything that you went through and how you had your own awakening. And I'm sure that every single piece led you to, it's almost like a puzzle, led you to where you are today, which, you know, finding purpose and meaning. And just, I guess, you know, you almost wish that, and you can help people before they get to a point of crises or getting moving away more quickly, so that no one ever is faced with, you know, as a psychotherapist, that patient who says, I want to take my own life. So that is your work and what you're doing now and everything is certainly a fascinating story. You mentioned blocks because, you know, it seems like these big roadblocks stop us from the meaning and head us down maybe a wrong path. So perhaps could you talk a little bit about these blocks and what they are and why they stop us from achieving a breakthrough? How do you even uncover them in your life?
I would love to chat about that. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm launching a lot of new programs, and part of that process is doing surveys with my community. And this summer, I did one, and 2,500 people responded. And it was, if you could sit down with me for lunch and ask two questions, what would they be about careers? And I have to say, I mean, here I am. I've worked with over 10,000 women in 10 years. I thought I kind of really knew. But the way these people articulated their challenges and the way I've seen them turn into blocks where we're simply paralyzed, it was really an eye-opening experience. So I have to say, I feel that there are 10 of these paralyzing blocks. And they are articulated in certain ways that repeat over lots and lots of people. But here are the 10 blocks. It sounds like this. Number one, I'm simply afraid to change. You know, that devil I know is better than the devil I don't. Number two, I'm not good enough for what I dream about. That's a hard one. Number three, I don't have what it takes. The heck with good enough. I don't even have the chops to do what it takes. Number four, I'm not worthy of amazing success. I'm intrinsically not even worthy of it. Number five, I don't have what others have. Like, I'd like to be like Kathy and write a book or Deirdre having a radio show, but I don't have it, what others have. Number six is, I'm going to blow it. I know whatever I try, I'm going to blow it. Number seven is, I'll alienate or anger or outshine my tribe. That's my family, my friends.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful one. We can talk about that. That's amazing to me. Number eight, I'm simply not confident enough to do this. Number nine, money is not going to come. Or the money I make, it's just not going to be enough for my needs and my family's needs. And finally, number 10, I don't think I'll even be happy even if I make this change.
Oh, my.
Which is another way of saying career bliss is for someone else, not for me.
When you look at these different blocks, and people are saying this, whether it's one or two or whatever, is this something that's rooted in who you are from childhood? Does it go that far back, or do we pick it up in our work experience? Where do you get this kind of negativity?
So I would say it's a combination, but and truthfully, you know, we've talked. I seem to have a gift of, if I'm on the phone for 30 minutes with someone, I can feel where they are blocked. I literally can feel it in my system. So, you know, so I'm seeing these blocks in a way maybe another coach wouldn't, right? But I think that 100%, not 100% of the time, I'd say 85% of the time, it comes from messages we received growing up. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be trauma, although sometimes it is. I've had, right. you know, people at 60 years old share with me some of the most brutal stuff that they never thought they would have to talk about, you know, when it comes to career. But it, we're a person when we show up to our professional life. So, yeah, you got to talk about it. But
right.
a lot of it comes from the messages you got from your parents or the ordinal position as a child, like a first child is often kind of habitually doing certain things, like pleasing the parents, whereas the second child is often the one who reacts. There's a lot of stuff that comes from childhood, but you know what? This is another crazy thing that I didn't realize until I became a coach. A lot of it also happens in the workplace, and the way we interpret it is traumatic. So for me, for instance, being laid off, that was the
right.
probably the most traumatic thing that's ever happened to me in my professional life. But it was the way I was processing it. Why was it so traumatic? I'd complained about my boss.
Yes, exactly.
I'd actually asked for a package a year before, and they said no. Why was I so traumatized? So it's also how we process what happens to us. So if we're in a position where our boss is beating us up, proverbially, that's
right.
all we see. We only look at what's on the at the tip of our nose. We forget how great we were in the last job. We forget. So it's a real combination of a lot of things.
That is really interesting. Just on the note about what she said, how we process, is it because we lose control? It would have been okay if it was, you know, if I was asking for the package rather than the boss saying, no matter how much I dislike the position. Is it losing that control and feeling upset over it?
Well, if you know, every situation is different, Deirdre. I got to say, in my situation, yes, it was feeling, and truly there was a narcissistic leader involved. And I didn't know what narcissistic personality disorder was then. Now that I'm trained in it, it's everywhere. It's honestly
right.
everywhere. There are so many narcissists. And what I mean by that is, and I wrote a post on Forbes on how to tell if your boss is a narcissist and how not to get
fired. I'm going to have to look at that.
Yeah. Because
be checking out my clients.
Oh, and then I interviewed a psychologist on the different types of narcissism. Vindictive. Oh, wow.
Interesting.
If you have a vindictive one in your life, look out. Do not challenge them. Don't.
Okay.
Leave or change divisions, but you will not win.
And you won't win.
Part of my problem was there was that narcissistic leader involved, and then the way it went down, I had been promised, you're going to have a huge career here, so buy the biggest house you can. And I did.
And you did.
So it was a lot of terrible emotions. I felt betrayed. I felt, victimized. Everything you don't want to feel in your job.
Yeah, those are all horrible, horrible feelings. Well, I'm talking with my special guest, Kathy Caprino, international career success consultant, author, and speaker. In the next segment, Kathy will discuss the qualities necessary for women who want to overcome their greatest obstacles.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Kathy Caprino and I were just chatting about the blocks to achieving your goals. And Kathy, there's certainly so much to discuss. You were mentioning those 10 ways that we kind of, the roadblocks and the questions or the things that we think of, and I think it was fascinating from just being afraid to change to feeling that even if we did change, it wouldn't help anyway. But there was something that I must have read, maybe it was on your website, and it was about living and working from your highest self.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be really great if you could explain that, and that would certainly help many to know what that is.
I'd love to. So, I really didn't operate in the level of highest self, or even know what that was before I went through this transformation. And the way I talk about it, it's not a religious concept at all, but it is a spiritual concept. It means, the way I frame it, is that you found new ways to rise above your ego and your vulnerability running the show. So you've learned how to separate yourself from your emotions. You know how to regulate your emotions. You've gained a lot of self-awareness, which is hard. It's hard work, right? You've learned how
Definitely.
To connect with others and collaborate. Boy, I'm intersecting with a lot of people, some of whom are amazing partners. I have a new partner, Mo Fall, and we're launching a new podcast series, and she's the best partner in the world. And I've connected
That's
with
exciting.
A lot of people that don't, want to really partner because they're so threatened. Because if you partner, you have to open your mind to diversity. You're going to have to open your mind to people saying, you know, Kathy, I don't really like that. I don't really agree, right? So the higher
sure.
self is connecting with the amazing help and support that's out there around you, waiting for you here and in other dimensions. So you see your life in kind of a more unattached way. It's not all hinging on, it's not all this drama. You can kind of see it unfold and yet be detached from it and operate in a higher way. So that's what I mean by that.
Is that almost like stepping outside of yourself to be more of the observer? And I don't remember what book I was reading, but it was something about mindfulness. And it was, the author was saying that sometimes when you're in it, and your ego especially is in it, you're just reacting. But if you can step out as the observer and question and look differently and take a new perspective, that's really going to, I guess, make you be a higher self. Is that similar?
That's exactly it. And there are many ways to do it. You know, I have started a meditation practice, and there's a wonderful resource. It's Lodro Linsler. He's an amazing Buddhist teacher, and he has an online course, Sit Like a Buddha. It's beautiful, and his is calm abiding meditation, where you're literally only sitting for 10 minutes, and you're watching your breath. That's it. And when thinking comes in, and of course it will, we're not, you know, a blank slate, you simply say, thinking, and then you come back to your breath. And what it allows you to do is just get more present with what you're feeling, what's going on, not trying to, you know, let's face it, it's a stressful time. It's a stressful decade, year, millennium, you know, it's a lot of stress in our lives, and a lot of us cope best we can. Some of us eat too much. Some of us drink too much. Some of us work too much.
yes, I know that.
And look, I'm nodding my head to all of that. No, I don't do much of that too much. But and the way to change that is to start being very present with what you feel and create a structure so that you're not running from it. Because it's when we run from it, you know, I talk a lot about this thing I call the pendulum effect. It's something I learned in therapy. It's when you're so pained in your situation, and I had this in corporate life, that when it came time to change, I went like a pendulum to the other side of the world. They call it emotional cutoff, because I thought, well, look, I had so much pain in the corporate world. I bet if I'm a therapist, there'll be none of that pain. The problem is you're the one showing up to your new chapter, and if you haven't figured out how to address the challenges in your life and deal with the negative emotions, there it will be, even if you've completely reinvented yourself. So I always, you know, encourage people to take a few steps before leaping. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because you're usually running from something.
So true. And because we do have to address challenges, and there will always be negative emotions, maybe you could give some tips daily or weekly, what helps you to relax, de-stress, rejuvenate. And I know you mentioned the meditation practice. Anything beyond that that you do that, you know, you want to share some tips?
And, you know, everybody's different, and what works for everybody is unique. For me, nature, I live in Connecticut, Wilton, Connecticut, and I'm surrounded by trees and animals, and that really feeds me. It's funny, I was watching the movie Avatar last night, and I was like, I want to
I remember
Pandora.
That movie.
Oh, that's my world, like nature. So I take walks, I go to the beach. I'm not so far from the beach. I take my dog for a walk. I try to remove myself from the office wherever possible. Because if I don't, it just becomes a treadmill of, let me get 500 emails done, let me do a Forbes post, let me interview this person. It just gets a little crazy. So I try to disconnect, take a walk. I take a monthly massage, massage envy, actually, and I approach it like a healing session. Let me go into it with an intention. You know, whatever's really upsetting me or bothering me or stressing me, I set an intention for that. Let me release the blah, blah, blah. And I come out feeling incredibly different. I also read and watch movies. I'm embarking on writing a screenplay myself.
Oh, exciting.
I really want to do, but I feel it's important. I'm an empty nester this year.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said to myself is, you are not just going to fill in that time with more work. No. You're going to do something that matters to you on a different level, different focus. So that's how I do it. But everyone's different.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, you definitely, you've hit on something when you don't want to fill your time with more work and being able to step back, do something different, and just finding those things, the walk or, you know, whether it's the beach or nature, removing yourself from the environment is always very helpful. I also try Reiki therapy. I think that's pretty good. And I have a chiropractor who doesn't crack you, but does more of the like electrodes and heat therapy. So,
yeah.
You know, all this stuff really helps. And I'm wondering, as we're speaking, I think I might even have the answer to the question, but if you were to compare the corporate life to the life of the entrepreneur, because that can be stressful too, which is tougher?
That's a really good question. So again, I'm going to say this is a personal evaluation, right? It's each of us is going to have a different answer to that question. For me, I want to say this. My dad was a GE guy, and I was the second child, and I think I was the son he never had. And so I really looked up to him, and he was at GE for 30 years. He had 7 patents, and he would leave at 6:30 in the morning and come home at 6:30 at night. And that was my role model for success, professional success. What I never stopped to think was, would I ever be happy in the corporate world? And to be honest, I was never really suited to corporate life. I didn't realize that at the time. But what do I mean by that? I really don't like bureaucracy. I really don't like having a boss who doesn't really know anything about what I'm doing. I don't like decisions taking 50 people. I never really liked going to the same office every day. I felt it was ridiculous. Now things are different. People can work remotely. But back then, you went to the office every day, and I was an hour
exactly.
and a half commute. There was so much that was wrong. But my husband, who's a jazz percussionist and has several businesses, I would look at him and say, oh, I can never do that. I could never be home running a business. Why not? Why didn't I
ever
begin it? Now I have to say I'm immeasurably happier as an entrepreneur. To me, it really is bliss, but don't get me wrong, not every minute. I mean,
yeah.
There are ebbs and flows with revenue. There's launching stuff that's incredibly, you know, time-consuming. But for me, it's meaningful, it's fun and rewarding, and I feel like I'm doing something I'm meant to do in the world. But one thing I would say about this, a lot of women come to me and say, I'm done with corporate, I want to start my own business. And when I ask why, it's usually because they're running from something. And so I don't think the answer to everyone's challenges are to launch a business. Because there's a wonderful book, Michael Gerber's The E-Myth Revisited. Everybody who's considering launching a business needs to read this book. And he talks about the fatal, fatal, fatal flaw and assumption why so many small businesses fail. And it's that the idea that because I enjoy doing a technical skill like graphic design or coaching or singing, I'm going to love running a business that offers.
Not so.
They're so different.
Right.
You really, when you're running a business, you have to focus more on your business than in your business. And that's where I see so many entrepreneurs and small business owners really failing. They just keep running this treadmill of offering the service. They don't understand, no, you're running a business and you have to think like a visionary.
Definitely. Yeah. And sometimes it even takes you away from the things that you love to do. I remember running an agency, owning an agency, and I got into it because I love the creative and the strategy, but in essence, I was over project management and over finance and, you know, the accounting department. So there's so many things that, you're right, go into running the business. Well, what advice would you give to women who want to make that big switch? And maybe it is, I want to leave corporate America and have my own, start my own company. Where would they turn first?
Yeah, so the very first thing, and you can tell I'm all about this, is the deep dive. Do not make one move without understanding who you really are. And there's an easy tool I have on my website. It's called my free career path assessment. It's 11 pages of questions I wish someone had asked me 30 years ago. And if they had asked and I had answered them, I wouldn't have made the mistakes I made, honestly. So take it, but you need to really understand so much about yourself. Not just, oh, what are my talents, but what you value. What are your styles and preferences? Right? What's the legacy you want to leave behind? When you're 90 looking back, what do you want to have done? So you have to answer, you got to do that deep dive first. And then I always say there are these five steps, which is number one, step back for an empowered perspective. Usually when we want a big change, we're in some form of emotional disturbance. You know, it's not going well and oh, it's, you've got to look back at who you really are from an empowered perspective. Then you got to let go of the thinking patterns and behaviors that are keeping you stuck, because there are some. You wouldn't be where you are. You'd be exactly where you want to be if you didn't have some patterns and mindsets that are holding you back.
And those are the blocks.
Those are the blocks. But, you know, they can also just be recurring challenges that, you know, you're able to move forward, but you're not having the success you dream of. So it doesn't have to be this terrible, crushing thing. It can be, why does that always happen, that wherever I go, I have a boss who's pretty awful to me. That's a recurring pattern, and you have to look at how you're co-creating that. Then you have to say yes to your most compelling visions. What does it look like? What does it smell like, feel like? What would you be doing? But most people cut themselves off before they even brainstorm, because they think, well, that's ridiculous. That's just never going to happen. So they don't even let themselves identify. I call it essence versus form. They jump to the form. I think I'll work in nonprofit, without understanding the essence of what they really want, then finding the form. Then you have to try on new directions. Don't just leap. Try them on. Volunteer. Shadow someone. Take on a new project at work. Try it on, and then you have to create a plan, a smart plan. And for that, you need someone in your court. You need a mentor. You need someone who's going to hold you accountable, because, you know, it isn't easy. It isn't easy to transform, but wow, is it worth it?
Oh, it's definitely worth it. These are all great steps. Can you pinpoint certain qualities that maybe of the women who are able to overcome obstacles and who can actually step back and then go along the right path?
I can do that. I did a study on women succeeding abundantly and just asked people, tell me about your life, and that was their definition of succeeding abundantly, not mine. And, you know, in all the Forbes interviews I'm doing of true movers and shakers who just blow me away, I've seen, I love things in fives, and I've seen this. The people who are really making it happen have clarity. They know who they are and what they want. They have confidence, and that you're not born with confidence. You actually, it's action, scary, scary action that builds confidence, right? The third is courage, to act boldly. And we, in corporate life, often we forget, because we're not encouraged to act boldly often. We're encouraged to shut up and do the work, right? The fourth is
commitment.
The fourth is you really have to commit to doing something every day, something for 15 minutes that's going to move you forward. It's commitment. And the fifth is connection. You can't do what you want in the world if you have big dreams if you're alone in an island. You need people who love you, who will, you know, now that I'm doing a lot of writing and on social media, there are people that would take a bullet for me, you know, or who would open any door for me. And, you know, they're out there. You just have to connect with them. You have to get bold and start reaching out and building your network. And I think really those things are what turn a lackluster career in life into a brilliant one.
That is brilliant. Clarity, confidence, courage, commitment, and connections.
Yeah. That's
excellent. Kathy, you have shared so much incredible information. Last question, where can my listeners find out more about you and your work?
Oh, thank you for asking. So there's a few websites. There's KathyCaprino.com. There's my amazing career, theamazingcareerproject.com, and that's my 16-week career transformation course. We just finished up a round with 75 amazing women, and I'm just I cry over the transformation and the support community they've built. I also have a free webinar series coming up really soon on the 28th of September called Fast Track to Career Bliss. And it's four webinars that talk a lot about what we've just shared, and it goes into deeper depth. And I have an open Q&A section so people can come with their specific questions. And you can find thanks. Here's a little link, bit.ly/fasttracktobliss. So sign up for that. Last time I had 1,500 people on that free webinar series in the spring. So,
oh, my goodness.
Come. I hope everyone comes and brings their specific question. Nothing is too big or too small. I'd love to address it.
Well, I hope they do, too. And thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your thoughts about blocks and reversing them and really just helping women to work from their highest self. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Deirdre. It was a blast.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. And until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.